Please be seated. I'm privileged to offer these words with you today around this gospel, and most specifically about love. There are infinite ways that one can approach the subject, for the love of God is infinite, eternal, limitless, unconditional, and whole. Wow. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? The last line of the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," says it this way: "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my soul, my all." Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That love is demanding. Besides its immensity, the other challenge when talking about love is that we use the same word to describe human love and divine love. Human love is based on emotion, passion, and desire. Don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of human love, as limited as it is. Turn on the radio and you will hear song after song about human love. Wanting it, getting it, missing it, being hurt by it, reveling in it. You know the joke about the country music song played backwards? You get your wife back, your trailer back, your dog back, your job back. What would writers express if not referring to the emotional seesaw of love? Love cannot be forced, though, just as a bud cannot force itself to open into a flower. You experience love by falling into it or letting go of blocks that surround it. Human love, simply based on conditions such as, "I'll love you if you do what I want or be what I need you to be," is not comparable to the unconditional and complete divine love. There's a good reason for all the songs and movies and writings about love. We're always trying to experience perfect love through the imperfect, conditional experience of love. My sense is, and my faith says, that the kind of love that Jesus is referring to and commanding in our gospel is vast, deep, and relentless in its ability to break through any barrier to it. This love described and promised by Jesus demands sincere surrender, like the hymn says, of our heart, soul, and life. As the Father has loved me, so has I loved you. Abide in my love. When and how have you abided in God's love? For me, the images and thoughts of beauty can be a living experience of the divine and divine love. I abide in love when I see something beautiful, from the rim of the Grand Canyon to a smile from a resident at Iliff. All beautiful. And as you might expect, more often than not, I experience the beauty of love through music. For example, last summer, I had to smile when being taunted by Toby, my then 4-year-old grandson, in the backseat of the car, on the way home, picking him up from vacation Bible school, and he's chanting, "Nana is a crybaby, Nana is a crybaby." I had gone there a few minutes early, so while waiting, I heard their last music class. The song they were singing touched me deeply as I watched and listened to these young children sing from their heart and soul. Now, mind you, my music director's side was making mental corrections of what could be and, you know, what would help and all of that, but I let that all go and simply got into the experience of the integrity of their sincere, innocent, raw expression of something divine and beautiful. When he saw me, Toby asked, "Why are you crying?" I said, "The music was so beautiful, it made me cry." He gave me a puzzled look, and in his four-year-old logic proclaimed, "But you can't see it. How can you say it's beautiful?" I explained that things could be beautiful not only in what we see, but also in what we hear and feel. Beauty is experienced in all kinds of different ways. He looked at me with skepticism, but went on to play. Later in the day, however, I overheard him tell his mother, "Nana is a crybaby. She cried because the music was beautiful. You know, music can be beautiful even though you can't see it." I guess he got the point. My heart swelled with a feeling like the unseen beautiful music, that of unconditional divine love. Loving one another as Jesus commands in the gospel connects us through the pulse of life itself. Now, I know that our sermons here are not usually experiential, but I'd like to invite you to an experience. So if you're comfortable being aware of your own pulse, you might even touch the place where you feel your pulse. For love is the pulse of life. And if you'd like to close your eyes, feel free as you focus on your pulse. Give yourself permission to become aware in a new way, the life that God has given to you. As you do that, you might also notice the rhythm of your breath. You are being breathed, breath after breath, inspired by God, by love. You breathe, your heart beats, you feel your pulse, you know that you are alive, inspired by love, the true essence of us all. Love not only connects you to God, but to each other, spreading out to pulse and breath of all living things. Take a deep breath in gratitude for love and life. And if you've closed your eyes, I invite you to come back into this space. Love is the pulse of life. It's easy to feel that pulse of love when you are with someone that reminds you of it, or when you are doing things that you love to do. It's more difficult to feel your love pulse when you've been disappointed, hurt, rejected, or abandoned by conditional love, and then in turn reject or mistrust divine love. Yet divine love never hurts, rejects, or abandons. How could you deny your own pulse? Even if you ignore it, despise it, or take it for granted, your pulse still beats through your body. And when the body's life pulse stops, love continues in those who loved you through the divine source of intimate, eternal love. I wrote about divine love in my blog last December, 2 days before Christmas, following the experience of being with a loved one whose pulse stopped. I'd like to share it with you. Peaceful, eyes closed, and unresponsive, she lay there in the last hours of life as her body slowly shuts down its functions. She was waiting to die. Though she had not spoken for several hours, I asked her if she wanted to listen to music. She moved her head as if to nod and said a soft, yeah, yeah. I chose music that I thought would be familiar and soothing to her. Her Roman Catholic faith had been of lifelong importance to her in her 91 plus years, and she also sang in her church choir. As the tunes of the familiar hymns played, Ave Maria, On Eagle's Wings, Be Not Afraid, top three Roman Catholic hymns, she lay relaxed, breathing slowly and easily. As a music therapist, especially at the end of life, the intention for the music played is to be relaxing and relevant to the listener. The last thing a person needs when faced with the challenge of dying is to have music that they do not care for, or any music at all, for that matter. Visitors came and I turned the music off. Her breath had turned to the sound known as the death rattle, and the morphine dosage was increased. The doctor said it wouldn't be long. I asked the visitors to leave, as the sound of her breathing was obviously disturbing them, and she seemed more peaceful with the music playing. Alone with her again, I chose the sound of the ocean, water lapping onto the shore. It matched her ragged breathing as she went deeper into the final stage of death. I thought perhaps she wanted to die alone, so I told her I was going to leave the room for 5 minutes. When I returned, the pastor from her assisted living facility was there, praying and singing to her. Again, I observed a peaceful presence as she seemed to be listening to and benefiting from music. Suddenly, she coughed and opened her eyes, looking directly into mine. I spoke to her in loving, gentle tones and sang her favorite hymn, Be Not Afraid. I told her that she was loved and would always be loved, and that there was nothing to fear. I said that all would be well on this side of Earth's consciousness, and that she would be well too. I told her I loved her and began to cry. Her eyes closed, and I saw a small tear drop from her right eye. I wiped it and said goodbye. She took a final breath as her pulse ceased. Music carried and loved her into death, and so did I. This person was my mother. Today is the first Mother's Day that I won't be calling her or seeing her. Yet I again feel the love and presence of spiritual connection that continues beyond death. Though she is missed, this knowing of divine love is as authentic to me as her physical presence was on earth. Love never ends. Deny it, try to control it, stomp it out all you want, but you're stuck with it. Thank God for that. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Living in this complete, eternal love, God comes into the door of your heart and dwells there. Divine love is not a stranger, unwelcome and unknown. Divine love is not a guest or an occasional visitor. Divine love is what a baby experiences when he or she is unconditionally accepted, known, and embraced always. A pure, secure, comfort, complete love, like coming home to the place we know and cherish most of all. An American song from the hymnal Southern Harmony, based on the 23rd Psalm, brings the image to music. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. Welcome home to love, and happy Mother's Day. Amen.